but every one of them is going to be doing some digging into the background of some topic or subject, looking for what happened. I mean, knowledge just doesn't happen out of nowhere. And it's from history that we get that knowledge. So history will be central in that sense, in terms of the way you built your research track. But it may not be central to you as a teaching interest. But maybe, you know, maybe you will. Maybe you'll say, gee, I'd like to have a course, you know, for my students taking a course to learn something about this. And by that time, maybe somebody will have written a real good book for it. And you can make it, you know, a sideline for teaching. But for me, it's been a central thing. But I think most of my colleagues, it's been sort of, you know, something I'm interested in, something I enjoy doing. But I don't do as much of it as old, what's his name, does.
Comments, observations, or remarks?
Anything? Well, I don't know. What do your students want out of history? I mean, what are they? I'd like to hear some of them say what is it that they want to know, specifically, I'll say, from your course. Now, maybe this will be an embarrassment to you, but I doubt it. But what do they want to know about history?
I gave them some objectives, but I don't think I've done a very good job so far in defining that. And I think to a certain extent, I was thinking that maybe you might answer with regard to the perspective that history has allowed you to bring to the study of management. But maybe they can tell us. Was one person be brave enough to say what it is at this point? You're our self-claimed historian. What would you think?
I'm sorry, what was the question? I'm lost.
What are you looking for out of a course in history?
Art had given us a sheet asking us what our objectives are out of this class, and I've always really enjoyed history, and I had put down there that, you know, had I thought I could make money, I probably would have been a history major as an undergrad, but anyway, I have a different major, but one thing that I have learned, or what I get out of reading history, is that you really can't appreciate where you're at if you don't understand and know where you've been. So that's really my objective, is to gain a greater appreciation for where management is by knowing what has progressed in the past.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. To that I would add, it gives you a vocabulary that you can use in your writing, in your conversation with others, in your class, that you wouldn't otherwise have. In other words, if you never knew about the Hawthorne Studies, if you never knew about economic development in the United States during the 19th century, now you do. And you've got that added vocabulary, that enriched ability to refer people to other things and events. And this is why you need to understand, let's take some delegation. I mean, we talk about empowerment, right? What's empowerment versus delegation? Anybody there? Hello?
Yeah, we're here. It's all the same thing. I'm nodding my head. Reinvention of the wheel.
You get this vocabulary, and so when you talk about empowerment, you're talking about things that Moses was doing. You know? Letting the hard cases come to him, but delegating smaller, less difficult matters to others. And so that enriches your ability to communicate with your fellow beings. Kind of like Barbara Way. Was that Barbara Way?
Yes,
The one was like, hey.
I want to say something. I mean, in terms of connotation, though, like, I don't think delegation is the same as empowerment, and I think that's one of the things I want to get from history, is to understand, you know, in terms of what delegation meant in the beginning and what it means now, because to me the difference between delegation and empowerment is delegation, someone gives you the authority or responsibility, and in empowerment, you take it.
Oh.
And I think the end result might be the same in doing it, but in terms of practice, no one is the individual knowing that they can take it, and delegation is your manager has to give it to you.
See, that's interesting, because I had always thought of empowerment as operating where leaders empowered others.
What she's saying, though, strikes me in this way, that there are two different philosophies of authority, and what Barbara Minsky has just articulated would be the bottom-up approach to authority that Barnard would have talked about,
okay.
As opposed to a top-down approach. My understanding of empowerment is more closely aligned to yours, Dan, than what Barbara has suggested, but I could see a Doug McGregor following on a Chester Barnard arguing that a manager has no authority until that authority is recognized by his or her subordinate,
mm-hmm.
suggesting that empowerment is something that you take, as opposed to empowerment is something that follows that top-down process that we call delegation of authority. And so, you know, there's some historical roots there as well. I had not looked at it as something you took. Authority is something that, according to one theory at least, is delegated.
That's interesting, because then is authority taken or is authority accepted?
Two different viewpoints, yeah.
Yeah, and one is both involve initiative, but one would involve self-initiative, the other would be granted initiative. You have the opportunity to do this. I don't know, that's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Good class.
It is going to be a good class. We haven't caught our stride yet, but I'm looking forward to maybe next week. I hope we're going to talk to Chuck on the phone. We'll pick it up from there.
Oh yeah, he is. He's fascinating. He's a jerk.
Good preview.
Yeah, he's very interesting. You'll enjoy that.
Anything else we can add? Dan, I can't thank you enough for taking the opportunity, taking 40 minutes here and talking with us and giving us your insights. It's certainly something that we had looked forward to, and of course the time was something that we'll have always valued. Want to join in thanking?
Well, I think you've got a job ahead of you.
I do. But I'm looking forward to it.
Because these young people are asking some very, very interesting and very, very difficult questions. So the discussion in your class should run rampant.
Well, we haven't had any yet. That's my problem. But we're going to work on this.
But I think the basis is there.
Oh, definitely.
You know, they're starting to think about these things in a different framework.
So, well, you're excellent, and I can't thank you enough.
All right. Well,
have a good one.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, that was fun, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.